back to Cairo Nights, special Friday edition. Joining us, one Stacey Jill Rost, a.k.a. Oh, that's not good. Stacey Jill Rost. Always coming in a clutch, Stacey Jill Rost. Always coming in.
I always like keeping you on your toes.
Startling me, scaring me through the headphones. I don't know
keeping
why.
You young.
I don't know why Shane always allows this to happen. I don't know why he doesn't warn me. I don't know why.
Me and Shane are in on it.
He doesn't say, hey, Stacey's on Comrex. He says nothing to me, and then you pop up in my headphones and totally scare me every single time as I'm trying to do my radio program. Stacey, I saw an article today. I immediately thought of you because I think that when people talk about division in this country, when people talk about, well, what's causing division in this country, it's a number of things. One of the largest things, I will say, is the framing of particular news stories to make things seem as if they are irregular or as if this is somehow out of the norm. And the example that I will give you today, Stacey, is that I wake up and I see an article that says Penn State student completely shocked by woke professor's assignment on why Taliban are not terrorists, as we like to say. They're not terrorists. So I go, what? What is this? You're telling me some woke professor is assigning someone to write an essay on the Taliban? Or we should say Talibans, plural, because there's many of them? Where is this? It's in Penn State. It's a professor. He says, I want you to write a paper defending the Taliban. And I was filled with rage, Stacey. I was filled with rage and ire and anger. And I said, this will not happen in this country. Not as Jack Stein lives and breathes. This will not happen in the United States.
So wait, I just want to make sure. This student said not as Jack Stein lives and breathes.
She did, as a matter of fact. She did. She said that on Fox
News.
So
All right.
I'm reading the article, and I think to myself, well, this is not weird, right? Because I went to a very liberal university, and I got a great education in politics and in civics. I studied under some of the greatest professors, Professor Worrells, who's written extensively on the Senate and the function of the Senate in the United States. Professor Schoenberger, who's written extensively on neoliberalism, classic liberalism. People who are not by definition Marxists in any way, shape, or form. People are not by definition conservatives in any way, shape, or form. But they are professors, and they analyze and they study, and they've got data, and they're looking at neoliberal regimes versus neoconservative regimes, so on and so forth. Heady academic nonsense. So I've written extensively on the Taliban's, plural. I've written on the Obama-Biden administration. I've written on the Reagan administration. It doesn't make any difference. One of my professors was a guy, a Frenchman, whose area of expertise was Middle East insurrection from Morocco all the way to Afghanistan.
That's a very cool area of expertise.
He's a genius. His name is Professor Tomas Serres, and he is a genius. He speaks a litany of languages, and the guy is a certifiably like a genius when it comes to politics and political theory. And one of the things he introduced to us was this idea that in many cases, what we call terrorist insurrection is actually the last bastion of leftist violence leftist violence in the world. And I'll go on to explain that in a minute. But the article basically goes like this, Stacey. She's a Penn State student, and she said on Friday on Fox News that she was completely shocked by an essay prompt deeming the Taliban, quote, not a terrorist group, end quote. Her name is Kylie Stone, and she said, I was completely shocked. I had made it through my first 4 years of college without having anything this insane. And of course, my last semester, my teacher basically says, you have to agree with me or I'm going to fail you. And then they post the prompt.
Okay, so wait. Quick question.
Yeah, please.
I am going to put myself out on a limb and assume that the professor isn't trying to radicalize this class and make them join a Taliban, that he's saying, or she is saying, or they are saying,
yes.
You know, we are going to, as part of a critical thinking exercise, find out the point of view of why someone would be part of the Taliban.
Yes, exactly. Right?
Okay.
Exactly.
I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to make sure this wasn't like actually a recruitment effort for the Taliban. Okay.
It was. You write a one page.
Cleared up that confusion.
It's a one page short essay. One page that's incredibly short, detailing how it is possible that someone could make the argument that the Taliban is in fact not a terrorist organization. Now, I did this. I did this in college. I did this exact same assignment. And the reason that you do this is to try to educate yourself in a perspective that you yourself might vehemently disagree with. And it is an excellent way to expand your mind and think about things from an alternative perspective.
I really don't mean to interrupt. It'll be 2 seconds. But this is exactly what anti-terrorists, CIA or like government officials or whatever, like part of their own like research and training is going to be understanding exactly why these groups come to be or exactly what someone's mindset is. Like it's like a core principle in understanding how to combat domestic or international terrorism is why someone would do it.
Absolutely. 100%. So very based, Stacey. It's so based.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we're on the same page with this.
Okay.
So then the article...
The article goes
on to say this, and this is where I realize that this is a ruse and a charade, and I think that people should be outraged that Fox even decided to run with this story, because this is egregious. Kylie Stone, also a social media producer at Turning Point USA, called out the assignment from Christopher Cook, a professor of international politics at Penn State Online World Campus. Turning Point USA is a conservative-funded outlet that is run by or headed by Charlie Kirk, a prominent conservative voice. This is a joke. This is a joke. This is literal advertising for Turning Point USA. Fox should be embarrassed to even run this. This is absolutely cooked. It's absolutely baked. At this point, it's as bad as something that CNN or MSNBC might do. That is egregious journalism. I say F minus to Fox News.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. I am so on board with this because it is knowingly broadcasting, covering a story devoid of any context.
Right.
Like it is so close to spreading misinformation. You are spreading misinformation. You are willingly leaving out important context of no, this is not a teacher, like a woke teacher trying to radicalize people and make people sympathize with and join any efforts of a terrorist group. This is someone saying, hey, in order to understand like Western ideology, like understand why someone would feel opposed to it or understand why someone might join this group or understand why people do the things they do. And in order to do that and like really make yourself do that, here's a challenge for you. Write this very short. I'm not making you spend, a thesis on this. Write a very quick, article on it, just like 10 seconds. You don't even have to truly believe it in your soul, but I want you to like see the point of view and understand it. That is, like you said, such a normal part of the critical thinking that you would be asked to do at any level of college. I mean, I'm talking like when I was like 18, a freshman in college.
Yeah.
These are the kind of assignments that you do. And to willingly portray it as something that it is not is incredibly irresponsible. Incredibly irresponsible.
Yeah. And my thing is, I was talking to Sarah about this. The people that I feel bad for are the people who will read that headline, not read the story. They're going to read the headline on Reddit and they're going to go down in the comment section and they're going to blow a gasket and they're going to say, look at these woke professors out there, not realizing like Stacey, when I was in college, I argued against things that for things that I fundamentally do not believe in. I argued for these things. I've argued for universal healthcare. I have argued for universal abortion.
These are like basic things. This is like high school debate club
I know.
Stuff. Like, I don't know why this is this hugely controversial thing.
Right.
It blows my mind that like, isn't the point of going to college, should you choose to take that route and should you choose to get into especially like a liberal arts education or whatever, like say political science, isn't that to understand all of these different political points of views and political relationships and international relationships and how things get to the way they are? That I don't understand why this would be controversial. I do devoid of context.
Yeah.
I do devoid of context. I think it's irresponsible not to add that context.
It is. It is. And if had I not had Professor Serres have us do this exact same exercise, identical one-to-one exercise, I would have never known that the Taliban, or at least sections of the Taliban, well, first and foremost, I would have never known that there were multiple Talibans. There's like a couple mm-hmm. dozen iterations of the Taliban, that the majority of them advocate for very leftist positions. I had no idea. I thought they were like, you know, solely theocratic agents of like a religious state. They advocate for, I'm just going to list off a couple, universal healthcare, universal childcare. They advocate for a direct democratic process under, and of course, this is underneath the guise of a theocratic.
Very flawed.
Right. Still flawed, but they advocate for direct democracy, which is like one-to-one voting. I would have never known that. Now, again, women still don't get to vote. Women don't have rights. But again, under the thing, I would have never known that most Taliban positions are for universal, and also universal basic income. These are really radical leftist ideas. And yet this group couples it with violence and theocracy. And that's why Professor Serres wrote extensively that this was kind of the last bastion of like radical leftism in the world that still relied on violence, heightened violence, and asymmetrical warfare for their political ends. I would have never known. I just would have thought, hey, there's a bunch of people out in Afghanistan blowing each other up for no reason. And now I'm much more educated on the issue because I had to advocate for it. Right.
Doesn't this kind of highlight a much bigger problem that collectively we as a society have, which is sometimes just the inability, and maybe more importantly, we have the unwillingness to entertain, to think about, to listen to different ideas.
Yeah.
Without thinking that somehow, like, it's like someone thinking, let's say someone who is a blatant homophobe, thinking that if they possibly listen to a gay person talk about being gay or talk about gay rights or what those rights mean to this person or whatever, that even just by entertaining that like they somehow will like, I don't even know, ruin their, you know what I mean? That they don't even have the ability to just listen to someone. And you don't have to fundamentally change what you believe in, but it is possible to like listen to someone and empathize with someone, or I don't want to use empathize in terms of every conversation you're having. I am very specifically when talking about, you know,
right,
someone who's a homophobic person listening to a gay person. but it's like, I feel like people are sometimes so unwilling to even entertain the idea because they think somehow that like they'll lose control over their own thoughts. It's you know what I'm saying? Like,
I
it's
do.
A very weird kind of like allergic reaction to entertaining any different idea.
Yeah, and I think it's because we treat new ideas like they're pathogens, right? Like they're diseases that we need to... And that's the language that we use with it. So this professor actually says in the prompt, it says, any attempt to avoid this prompt as written or trying to argue otherwise will result in a failing grade. If you have any questions on the pedagogy behind this assignment, please contact me. Now, for those of you who don't know, pedagogy is like the method or the the way that you choose to express or educate people in a theoretical way. So this professor isn't saying we're not talking about this, we won't discuss it. This professor is saying if you want to call us into question, like, come talk to me. Mm-hmm. I see nothing wrong with this. And the fact that Fox is who it's like, I am just dumbfounded at the idea that, okay, so like, let's just say hypothetically that we do the inverse of this, where CNN decides to bring on somebody who says that they were forced to write. They bring on a deeply religious person who was forced to write about the fact that, or make an argument for gay marriage. Isn't this so awful? Oh, wait. I'm doing the wrong thing. No applause, people. what would the inverse be, Stacey? I'm drawing a blank right here. It's a Friday.
I don't even know. It would be
a deeply woke person having to argue about the...
I think the inverse would be what I think a conservative audience would be very sensitive to, which would be being portrayed that as a conservative, you are somehow like also racist or also some of those like connections that are made. Like, let's say that someone went to a conservative speaker who was talking about embracing like traditional values, and they wrote a review about how this person, you know, said that the world should go back to 1950. Like, just like kind of like purposely like making like warping something. I think people would take offense to that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that would be a really a good way of framing it. My concern, Stacey, to kind of put a bow on this, is that unless that people take in the opportunity to actually A, read an article, or B, listen to somebody else shine a light on the inconsistency and the egregious nature of this article, they're never going to know. And they're going to think that the woke professors out there are brainwashing their students to become members of the Taliban. And not realizing that this is all cooked and baked and it's conceited and it's designed to be rage porn. It's designed to be rage pornography.
Yep, yep.
And I want people so desperately to understand that all you have to do when you come across an article like this, when you see a headline that makes you react in an instant, do yourself a favor, scroll down, skip the first couple of paragraphs, and find out who exactly is speaking, and all of a sudden you're going to realize, oh, wait a minute, we're talking to an actor. We're talking to a bad actor who's going on Fox and Friends to promote Turning Point USA. And then you go, oh. Mm-hmm.
You know what I would love to talk about next week, Rackstein, is why anger and rage is more motivating than other reactions.
Ooh, yeah. I think that...
Have people and news organizations found that inciting anger or inciting... anger is probably the best thing, but like a defensiveness or rage makes content like almost more addictive. Or maybe does it, right?
Yeah, no, I've got many, many thoughts on this, Stacey Jo Ross. I've got more thoughts than you can possibly imagine, because this is something that I talk about with
them. I'll do some reading.
All right.
I'll bring us some stats.
And bring us some quotes, maybe.
Some quotes.
Some Winston Churchill, yep. Maybe. Maybe some Thomas Aquinas, and we can...
You got it.
We'll
Thomas
take
Edison, any Tom.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Tom Brady.
We'll take a really quick break, and when we get back, you can ask us any question in the text line at 888-973-KIRO. We'll be right back. Right after. Whoa, those guys stopped abruptly. We'll be right back right after this.
We need more cheese.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Shane, I know we normally do Ask Me Anything, but I got a couple of things that I actually wanted to ask you about, because they're in realms that I am not familiar with, and I feel like you might have a better perception on these issues than I might. Because, you know, Shane, I'm not really like a sports guy, so whenever I hear about, well, this team is going to change this mascot to this thing, or this team is going to have a vote on changing the name to something else because this is ethnically insensitive, I oftentimes think, well, I don't really care, right? But then other times I find it really irritating. So as an example, Dory's got this story up over at My Northwest. It says, is Western Washington University's Viking mascot getting the woke boot? Meaning that they might get rid of Victor E. Viking, who's been...
That is such a Western Washington University thing to do. I love it.
So Victor E. Viking has been the mascot at Western Washington University for 99 years. And then according to a report from June of 2021, people in the text line always get mad at me because they say you have to pronounce it UW. And I always say UW. It doesn't matter. So they're saying that it's concerned about the harm caused by asking members of the Western community to identify with a figure that is potentially exclusive on the basis of both ethnicity and gender. So now we have to have a genderless, ethnicless mascot in order to be happy. Who are we catering to? This is the question I'm asking myself, Shane. I want to give you room to answer this, but who are we? By getting rid of beloved mascots, who are we benefiting? Who are we making feel better? Who are we trying to help out with? I went to a college where the mascot was a slug. Do you think I feel very good about that? No.
I feel bad about it. I think it's an awesome mascot.
It's a slug reading a book with glasses, Shane. Nothing is more less intimidating and indicative of a bunch of nerds, slow nerds with no athletic prowess, than a slug with glasses. I am athletic, Shane. I am fit. I am testosterone to the gills. I have rippling muscles. I have a full beard right now. Full healthy beard. Do you think a slug is indicative of my athletic prowess in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I mean, maybe it's of your educational prowess. You're low and slow, but you know a lot. You're around a lot. You're in places where not many people can get.
Shane, slugs are the idiots of the animal kingdom. They don't even have the common sense to have a shell.
Well, they don't have. Well, I mean, they also through evolution and through, you know, the good Lord, they don't have too big of brains. So, you know, with what they've got, they're doing a pretty good job.
Do you know how you defeat a Viking, Shane? Hand-to-hand combat, where you are going toe-to-toe with a masculine a warrior whose sole purpose for being is to pillage and conquer with swords and axes and boats and big old beards and long braids and horns on my helmet, and we're going to mess you up, versus a defenseless invertebrate. Who wins that one, Shane? Who wins that one? You tell me.
Well, I mean, who can survive in harsher climates? I would say the little slug, but...
No, obviously Viking, Shane. A slug can't do anything. A slug can't survive in a climate below 50 degrees. It can't survive in a climate above 100 degrees. That's why they live in rotting wood, Shane. So I ask you, you have been in football. You've participated in this stuff. What's the deal, Shane? Tell me what's going on here. Do you have any insight into this nonsense that's going on?
Well, the only thing that I know is that when I first started looking at colleges when I was in high school, I actually was recruited to play rugby at Western Washington University. They were one of the only schools that actually reached out and were like, hey, we could give you a partial scholarship if you want to come here. And I ended up not taking it. And I didn't take it just because it was Western Washington. It was just not the right time. But from going to Central and from what I've seen and known and just kind of paying attention to the landscape of the higher education here in the state of Washington is, you know, Western Washington in Bellingham is arguably the most liberal institution in this whole entire state. Arguably. Okay. It is. It some of the stuff and some of the things that you see and hear out of there is something that you would never, ever consider to see at Central or UW or Evergreen or some of these other places. So I feel that, you know, if there's a university that's going to try to change things up like that, it would definitely be Western. And part of me says, hey, man, if your students and the people that are paying your salaries don't like the mascot and they want it changed, I think you should change it. Now, for what reason? That's debatable. But if they're like, hey, man, yeah, we don't like being the Vikings. We'd like to be the Crabs. We'd like to be, you know, some little sea urchins, some sea spiders.
The Crabs is not a good name for a college university.
I know it's not, but I mean, dude. But here's the thing. If you look around at some of the other universities in Washington, did you know Evergreen State College, Jack, arguably one of the other most liberal institutions in this whole entire state, do you know what their mascot is?
No, I'm not familiar.
They are the Gooey Ducks. Do you know what a Gooey Duck is?
No, what's a gooey duck?
You're on a computer right now. Google image what a gooey duck is. G-E-O-D-U-C-K. It is a type of clam or crustacean. What, you know what it looks like? It looks like something that we can't say on the radio. That's what it is. And that's what their mascot is. So, I mean, there's plenty of different types of people. There's actually another junior college in Arizona, I believe, and their mascot is the Fighting Artichokes. And for me, let it rip, dude. If you guys like, if you like being the Fighting Artichokes, rip it, dude. If I was a student body there, you would see me repping the gear. I'm with it. Do the dang thing. And if
this
they
is cringe.
What is cringe? That people are getting creative with the mascots other than the Vikings. Like that's a pretty traditional mascot. I'm looking for some more creative mascots here, Jack. Because you know,
a Viking invokes emotion. A gooey duck invokes disgust and disdain and bitterness and resentment. It looks like a creature that Satan put on this on God's green earth to torture us. This is not a creature that anyone should appreciate. Which, Shane, by the way, before we have to get out of here, I know that you have been working up at the pass, and since they're all now open again, how are you feeling about this? You feeling good about it? I mean, I'm looking at some pictures. It looks like you got some rock slides that have been going on. You got some boulders that had to be moved. How's it going up there? How are things going up in the old, I don't know what you want to call it, the Great White North, we might call it.
The wonderful Snoqualmie Pass, we'll call it that. Things have been pretty interesting. So the thing is that when we had all the freeway closures, we had, you know, feet and feet and feet of snow get dumped onto the summit. But the problem is when those freeways were closed and what people who are, you know, alpine enthusiasts like myself, one thing that people don't understand or people who aren't into it is even though we've got all that fresh snow, we were also met by a day with 3 inches of rain, multiple days. So the thing is right now, the resort where I work at, specifically at Alpental, with the conditions that have been happening with all the freeway closures, there is a ton of snow, but the problem is since we've had those days of rain, not only is the snow really not great quality, but also in certain areas like the backcountry area, which, you know, requires an immense amount of skill and also to have the right equipment to self-rescue yourself or a friend if there's an avalanche. You know, mm-hmm. There's different layers of snow, and it's all held between different sheets of ice. So the avalanche potential and the danger for people to get hurt has been skyrocketing. So things have been very limited with the operations, but we've been able to at least have few people getting up. People are still being able to get up to the chairs, which makes all of us happy, and especially all the skiers out there in the Pacific Northwest. But, you know, it sucks the way that it had to happen, that we're now finally open and things are good. It just wish it would have happened right before it started raining, if you know what I mean.
I do, and thanks for the update, Shane, because I feel like we kind of miss something by not actually having quote-unquote boots on the ground up, because, like, I can read the, like, every morning when I open my weather app, and I'm like, this doesn't look good. You know, you can do that, but I think it adds a lot more when you actually talk to somebody who's actually physically there. It's like, yeah, it's pretty rough in the old backcountry, so... Shane, we'll take a really quick break, and when we get back, we will wrap all of this up with lovely Lisa Brooks right after this. Sorry about that. I pressed the Billy Sunshine intro. Oh, man. How's everybody doing this evening? Trying to check in on what's on everybody's mind. What's on my mind, if I can just get this out of the way really quickly, Stacey Jill Ross and I had a conversation off air that I think we'll pick up on Monday or Tuesday, but she was really curious about anger and rage on radio, and she was asking me about my show and the way that I do it. I think we should talk about that on Monday, but it's been on my mind ever since she mentioned it, because it just got me thinking about the difference between the show, let's say like 9 months ago, Shane, when I was just yelling at everybody, versus now, and how that's worked out really over the last like 9 months, because I think the show has improved, despite the fact that some people in the text line think otherwise. So that's what's on my mind, rage, anger, and why it is an important thing to avoid at all costs. Lisa Brooks, what about you? What's on your mind?
Oh, gosh, I really want to get into that discussion.
Yeah, please.
That's going to be really good. I have noticed that shift, by the way, in you, and I think fantastic. Because rage makes me want to turn away and run and hide my... I don't want to be a part of it. I'm not looking for a session. I don't have to get that out of myself. So it's difficult to connect with. So thank you. So that's good.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Leah. I appreciate that you saying that, because I was self-conscious for a while. And I'll mention this to Stacey, but for a while I was like, if I'm not angry on radio, then what am I doing? It's not a weird thing to say, but for a while I was like, if I'm not being mad... What am I doing? What point am I trying to make?
Well, a lot of program directors used to ask for that too. So,
oh really?
Fortunately, I don't think that we have one that does. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Brian is the opposite. Yeah. He's like, do you think maybe you could like tell some jokes and maybe read the news?
This is a good thing.
Yeah. So, Lisa, anything else on your mind?
I saw this great movie, The Tender Bar. Have you seen that? George Clooney directed it. Ben Affleck is in it. It's on Amazon Prime right now. It's so good. And the soundtrack is wonderful. It's like all early 1970s kinds of music. It's about this little boy who's kind of an introspective little boy. He's not good at sports, or he's not good at, you know, fighting and stuff like that. He wants to read and wants to be a writer. And his father is a disc jockey, an absent disc jockey, and a real jerk. So that was a hook as well. But it's just very well told, and I highly recommend it. I think you'd enjoy it.
I'm going to have to check it out right now, Lisa Brooks, because okay. I have officially finished all my backlog of everything. And so now I'm trying to find new stuff to watch. So that will for sure be on my my list. Shane Peterson, what about you? What's on your mind?
There's only one thing on my mind, and it's that tomorrow at 7:30, I'm going to be at the Tacoma Comedy Club seeing Shane Gillis perform live. And that is the only thing that is on my mind and that I am excited about. And that name means nothing to many people, but it means a lot to me. And the one thing that I find the most fascinating and the most invigorating about stand-up comedy, especially when you're a purist, is, you know, when you go to go see your favorite bands, you know that they're going to play, you know, either A, B, or C song off of this album, or they're going to come up and they're going to maybe play a little something new. With comedy, you never really know. And if you know about comedy at all, you know, comedians can't, like, recycle material that much. So I don't know if there's going to be any new material, if there's going to be any old material. I'm just there for it, and I'm excited. And that is all that is on my mind.
A friend of mine asked me, this is kind of in the same vein, you mentioned music. A friend of mine asked me if I would listen to his record and give him some notes on his record. And I have to tell you that I feel very honored and privileged that he would ask me to do that. The downside is that he's made the same record 3 or 4 times, if that makes sense. Like, he's made the same album 3 or 4 times. And so this will be the third or fourth record in 6 years hey bro, can you listen to my album? And I'm debating this weekend when he and I chat over the phone, I'm kind of debating whether or not to say, hey, you know, man, like, I like Sweet too, like the band Sweet was awesome, but do you really have to keep making like a Sweet record? Like, I like 70s pop rock too, I love it, right? Whatever it is, like the Romantics or whatever it is. Do we really have to revisit that and kind of go over that again? I'm not, or like the Replacements. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of records that he makes, and they're nice records, but I kind of, you know, guy, like, you kind of made the record, same record, like 3 or 4 times. And like, I wonder, maybe you want to branch out a little bit, do an Eric Clapton, do a Madonna, try something else.
Tell him to be himself. Who is he? Is this record truly him and his genre?
No.
Then he needs to find out who he is, what his voice is, because he's doing himself a disservice, and you're doing him a disservice by not telling him that.
Oh, Lisa Brooks, this is why we come to you for your wisdoms. This is why we come to you, so you can set the record straight. I will update you guys on that conversation on Monday, as a matter of fact. So for Lisa Brooks and for Sugar Shane Peterson, I wish everybody a good night. We will see you on Monday. Goodbye. Take a look all around.